Blog Talk Radio.
To the name of Jesus. We're here once again on Friday Night Live trying to build up and exhort the name of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. This is Prophetess Teresa Docks here with you, excited about God, excited about Jesus, and excited about God's people. Feel this place. Enjoy the music, and we will be right back. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, fill this place. Well, we're going to open up with prayer, and then we're going to go forth with the message for tonight. Yes, hallelujah to the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for another night, another day, Lord God, filled with your glory. Father, we ask you right now that you would saturate the lines, Father. Saturate, Lord God, the listeners, Father God. Open up their hearts, their minds, Father, so that they can receive, Lord, what you have for them to receive, Father, in this very hour. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you have your grace upon Kingdom Builders International Ministry. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for truly you're worthy to be praised. We cover these lines with the blood of Jesus. For we know, Lord God, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, Lord God, we have been given the authority to condemn. So we thank you, Lord God, and we trust you, Father. We surrender all to you. And Lord God, in this time, Lord God, we'll be talking, Lord God, about the heart of man, cleaning the heart, forgiveness. We ask you, Lord God, to open up the hearts of the listeners. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray and we say amen. Well, we got a special treat for you tonight. We're going to start the program. Sit back, get your Bibles, and be blessed. And we'll be right back.
Go to Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. You guys are just being really, really great congregation. You are really being respectful after the little talk we had last night about not moving around. I said last night here, I threatened everybody and told them not to leave unless they had an emergency, and I'm the one that had to leave. And then I said, especially people up in the front shouldn't be moving, and I was having to get everybody on the front row and get them out of here. But Dave said, you did say unless there was an emergency. Father, thank you for this important word this morning. Something that we desperately need, all of us, basically every day. Help us to get it. We got to press in and press on if we're going to have victory. Help us. Give us grace. In Jesus' name. This morning I want to take a little time and talk to you about pressing past anger. Does anybody here ever get mad? Pressing past anger and pressing past unforgiveness. Because if we don't do something about our anger, the next problem we're going to have is unforgiveness. If I get angry with somebody and I stay angry long enough to let it take root, then I get a root of bitterness and I become resentful. And even though I may be trying to stay in relationship with that person and smiling on the outside, there's something in my heart that's gradually just eating away at the life of God in me. The Bible is very explicit about the fact that even though we may get angry, we are not to stay angry. And very plain and explicit about the need, the requirement for every believer to keep their heart completely cleansed of offense and unforgiveness. Every person needs this message. Every person is tempted on a regular basis in this area. And you would be amazed at how many people are here today who love God, who came here for a miracle, who came here for a breakthrough, who came for God to do something in their life, but you came angry at someone, at something. And it may not be something fresh. It may be something that's been there for a long time. And you say, well, I've tried to get over it and I just can't. Yes, you can. God does not tell us to do things that are impossible for us to do. If the Lord said forgive, then we can forgive. If He said don't be offended, then there is a way for us not to be offended. Pastor Don Clowers and myself, Dave and Sharon, were talking yesterday. Because I like to get to the real core of issues. And I said, okay, I'm gonna talk about letting go of the past and really living in and enjoying the future that God has for you. I'm going to talk about getting past anger, getting past bitterness. But I want to be able to tell them how to. To me, it's one thing to tell somebody to do. It's another thing to tell them how to do what you're saying that they should do. And so Don began to share some things with me, and there'd been some things in my own heart, and I've even been thinking about it more lately. And Don said one of the things that God's been having him do himself personally lately is be honest with himself about why he feels certain ways when he feels certain ways. He said one morning, a couple weeks ago, he woke up and he just was in a really lousy mood. And he said, I thought, you know, just forget everything. I don't care about anybody. I don't care about nothing. I don't want to do this. He just had a big bad case of the I don't cares. So he said he started practicing what God had been teaching him. And he asked himself, okay, what's really behind this? Come on, you got to get something here this morning. Because so often all we deal with is that surface thing. But there's something down deep inside that's feeding that surface thing. And so we can try to deal with this surface feeling that we have, but then some other ugly feeling is going to crop up, maybe a little different flavor, but really still coming from the same root. Rotten roots always equal rotten fruits. I've used an example at different times in messages about, I know you've all had this experience. You go to the refrigerator, you open the door, and you think, man, what is that that stinks? Well, some people even testify to it. They say, my life stinks. Well, what you need to do then is you need to do the same thing that you would do with the refrigerator. You need to tear the thing apart piece by piece until you find out where the stink's coming from. And you need to not be satisfied with anything less, because spraying a little deodorizer in it is not going to get it anymore. We put enough deodorizer on our life. Oh, well, I know I've got a bad attitude, but I'll go get hands laid on me again. No. Start asking yourself, okay, what is this really all about? You say, well, I'll tell you what it's about. They made me mad. No, you know what you need to do? You need to own your anger. Instead of saying, you made me mad, you need to say, why do I get mad so easy? Why am I so insecure that every time somebody tries to give me any little teensy tiny bit of advice, I blow up? Well, you should stop trying to tell me what to do. Well, no, maybe you should let God deal with them and leave them to the Lord. And maybe you should find out how you can live in a world full of rude, unlovely people and still have peace. Because even if you get rid of that person who hurt your feelings, the devil will provide 3 more tomorrow and 2 more the next day and 10 more the next day. And so the answer is not to get rid of all the people bothering us. The answer is to change. Well, don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. And really, whatever Don was sharing was private. We didn't get into the details, but he did say that when he asked himself what it was really all about, there was a hurt there. And see, so often people hurt us, and instead of dealing with it, we stuff it. And my word to you today is stop stuffing your stuff. Feelings buried alive never die. I want you to see it. Feelings buried alive never die. All they do is sit in you somewhere and fester or get bigger and bigger, or they eat away at your relationship with God. They eat away at your relationship with people. We have to deal with these things and not just stick them somewhere and pretend like we're okay when really we're not. We need to stop being phony. And we need to get honest with ourselves, because we cannot be honest with anybody else if we're not going to be honest with ourselves. If you're jealous of somebody, call it what it is. Go to God and say, you know what, God, I know this attitude I've got really stinks. I can smell the stink when I open the door. And I want to know why I have a problem with jealousy. God, I want to know what is in me, why I'm having this problem. And maybe the Lord will show you right away, you're insecure. You don't know who you are in Christ. You compare yourself with other people all the time. You don't need to compare yourself with anybody, because I love you and I've got a plan for you. Get your eyes off of them and let me do what I want to do in your life. Amen? And actually, Denise, when I told you I was jealous of your suit, I'm not. I just think it's pretty. We have to start being honest and owning our feelings. Calling things what they are. Stop blaming everything on everybody else. Nobody can ruin your life if you don't let them. This side needs to hear that. Nobody can ruin your life if you don't let them. I know for a fact, because miserable people just want to make other people miserable. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And it's not even really anything they're doing on purpose. They're just so miserable that they just can't stand joy, because joy messes with their misery. Now, you know, if you're in a lousy mood, the last thing you want to do is get around some bubbly, sanguine personality that just wants to be happy and have a good time all day. You just want to strangle them. Amen? Hallelujah. My wonderful administrative assistant has just got a real up personality. And she travels with us on the road. And she gets to our room about 7 o'clock in the morning when I'm out preaching and doing these seminars. And she makes the coffee and helps Dave and I with breakfast and helps me with some little details. And I'm not naturally an up person when I get up. I want quiet. And, you know, by the time I've done 3 meetings and now I'm getting ready for the last one on Saturday, I mean, I'm trying to just stay at some level of being positive so I can just, you know, function that morning until I totally wake up. And so she knocks on the door, and I'll open the door, and she says, "How are you this morning?" She says I'm exaggerating. So I say, "How are you?" And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. She says, "Wonderful, marvelous, how are you?" And I'm like, and you know, sometimes I think nobody can be that happy in the morning. Of course, I'm happy for her, you know. Praise God, I'm sure I need her to get me out of the basement sometimes. But am I telling you the truth? Sometimes when you're in a lousy mood and somebody else is real up and happy, you're just like, if you want to be negative and somebody comes around that's positive, they irritate you. If you don't have good manners and somebody's around you that's just so polite and mannerly, you don't like them. When Paul and Roxanne used to live with us, they lived in our home for 18 years as our armor bearers. And back in the years when we had small children, we traveled and they would help with our children. They were a wonderful blessing to us. And I've never seen any two people that have any better manners than those two people. I mean, I have never, ever in my whole life heard either one of them ask the other one to do something without saying please and thank you. Well, Dave and I barked orders at each other. And so when they moved into our house, I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. I've told them this. They irritated me. They were so nice and polite, they irritated me. And I was like, oh, come on. You guys are just not even real. Would you please get me a drink of water? Thank you, sweetheart. I'm like, get me some water. Praise God. Now, am I telling the truth? Any time that we're around somebody who's doing better in any area than we are, their right behavior convicts us of sin. But then, instead of dealing with ourselves, we get aggravated at them. Instead of letting them pull up to where they are, we want to pull them down to where we're at. So the bottom line is I'm saying we need to stop blaming other people, whatever the case might be. And we need to start owning our feelings and owning our thoughts and taking responsibility for all these weird, ungodly thoughts and feelings that we have. Come on now. You know, all the stuff we hide from everybody. There's not one of us that would want our minds to be an open book put on a movie screen here today. Hallelujah. And we always think, boy, God, I sure don't need this today. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. It's exactly what you need. Because I believe that God does very often surround us with people that their behavior convicts us. I know there's times when I get around people just because of my walk with God, my behavior convicts them. And many of them then decide they don't like me. But that's not my fault. I can't change because they're convicted by my presence. So I want some of you to get honest and say, okay, why don't I like you? Maybe I don't like you because you're doing so much better than I am in some area. And your presence convicts me and makes me feel bad about where I'm at. We need to get honest. We need to get painfully honest. If you're jealous, tell God you're jealous. Ask Him to show you why. If you're angry and you're angered easily, ask God why you get angry so easy. I'll say it again. Everybody else cannot take the responsibility to treat us in such a way where we never get upset. We have to take the responsibility to own our emotions and to not let them just go haywire all the time. It's a big job trying to change the world so you can be happy. Believe me. I know, I've tried. And that's the absolute truth. Our problems are not really what defeat us. It is our response to them that defeats us. There's so many things that we put off on other people that really are our own responsibility.
My God, when you really, really think about it, just looking at the man in the mirror, just looking at yourself and dealing with you can make this a better world. Pressing past the anger and the hurt and the unforgiveness, building up your most holy faith, building yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20 talk about it. The Word of God said we're built up when we pray with our heavenly language. So we have to build ourselves up and deal with some past angers and unforgiveness.
All right. Ephesians 6:12. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents or people. But we are wrestling against the despotisms, the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural realm. So what's he saying? It's not people that are our problem, it's the devil. Now, do people have any responsibility? Absolutely. We all need to come up and grow up and not let the devil use us. The enemy is always looking for a weak link to work through. And many of you know, you could tell me right now, you could stand up and tell me who some of those weak links are in your life that anytime the devil's trying to get at you, he'll go through that person to get to you. Hallelujah. Well, yes, people have a responsibility and they need to change, but if that's where they're at right now, you've got to remember where you used to be and that you used to be the same irritation to somebody else. And the fact that they're irritating me does not relieve me of the responsibility not to get over being irritated. Am I making sense today? I must say it again, because I think so often we stop at that. Because, see, it's not painful for me to look at what's wrong with you. And so as long as I can look at what you're doing to me that's making me unhappy that you should no longer do, there's no pain in that. I don't have to press at all. sometimes if I'm a little bit overly religious, I can even feel self-righteous about my revelation that I have about your problem. Especially now that I'm so spiritually mature that I can recognize everybody else's weaknesses and faults. Ooh, hallelujah. But where the pain starts is when I get beyond what you're doing to me or what I think you're doing to me, because many times it's all in our heads. Many times it's our perception. Do you know there's a lot of people and their perception is just flat out messed up? In other words, because of hurts in my life from a long time ago, I can be in a room and I can perceive that people are rejecting me when really they ain't even paying any attention to me because they don't even know I'm there. And so I can get all hurt and bothered and mad at them because they're not treating me the way I think they should treat me, when the truth of the matter is God himself has hidden me from them because he's after something in me, and the only way he can pull it out is for people not to always treat me the way I want them to. Am I talking too fast? I'll never forget a woman, and actually this woman works for me now, so all my employees will be wondering, I wonder if it's me. But years ago, when I had my weekly meetings at Life Christian Center, just my Thursday morning meetings then, this woman was part of the helps team, and a friend of hers came to me and said, you know, so-and-so, named her name, just really feels like you ignore her, you don't pay any attention to her, you walk right by her and you don't even speak to her, and she's just so hurt, she's so wounded, she feels like that she's volunteered in your helps ministry and worked and been faithful, and she's just really hurt. Well, now all of a sudden, I felt this burden of responsibility come on me that now I had to try to find this woman 3 times a day and go tell her how awesome she was and make sure I spoke to her and make sure I talked to her. But you know what? When we get into works of the flesh, trying to give other people what God does is not giving them. You know, many times we demand out of other people what God is not giving us himself. And half the time I couldn't find the woman. And finally I said to God, God, if you want me to treat the woman a certain way, then why don't you let me notice her? And this was when I first started learning. He said, I don't want you to see her. I don't want you to give her what she wants, because she has a problem. You don't have a problem. She has a problem. And if I let you give her what she wants, she will keep her problem. She will never get over her problem. Amen.
Amen. And that is so true. You know, sometimes we want to be validated, and we want people to validate us. Sometimes what we expect from other people, we only can get that from God. So it's so important that you know who you are. And validation from other people does not depend on you being moved in the kingdom. So we have to know who God says that we are and receive that in our spirit, so that when other people are around us, we don't expect much from them, not what they can do for us, but what can we do for them. Again, we have to press past the small thinking and know when it's God speaking.
And if I can just use my relationship with Pastor Rick here for a minute, an example, which I'm sure he won't mind. When I worked for him, Rick was one of the first, other than my husband, male authorities in my life after my abusive relationship with my father. Well, I did not do well at all with male authority. I was afraid of strong men. Now, Dave, of course, is certainly a strong man. But Dave also had a different type of personality. He wasn't real aggressive in his personality, and a lot of things are just okay with Dave because his motive in life is peace. Now, you know, you can ruffle him the wrong way, and, you know, we've all learned what those things are, and we've had 36 years of learning how to get along, and so we're fine. But, you know, when I went to work for Pastor Shelton, he was 26 and I was 36, and we both thought we knew everything, and neither one of us knew anything. That's a pretty good, accurate description, right? And make a long story short, he was my boss, whether I liked it or not, and he was a strong boss. And he had strong opinions about things, and he wanted things done a certain way, and which meant that I wasn't going to get my way all the time, and I was going to be told when he didn't like what I was doing, and so on and so forth. And I can't tell you how many hours I spent in prayer that he would not treat me this way, he would treat me this way, he would not do this, and he would not do that, and he doesn't edify me, God, and he doesn't compliment me, and I do this, and I do that, and I don't get anything. And you know what? I know now with all my heart that God put the two of us together in that relationship simply because there were things in me that had to surface. Is anybody in this place listening to me? And God wasn't going to release him to treat me the way that I thought I wanted to be treated, because if he would have, I would still be sitting around with all my stinking mess with the door closed on it, once in a while opening up the door, spraying a little room deodorizer, and slamming the door again. But no, I wasn't getting what I wanted. And I finally had to take the refrigerator apart. And I finally had to say, there's a root here in my life that keeps showing. It shows up with him in one way. It showed up with his wife in another way. It showed up with my husband in another way. It showed up in friendship relationships in another way. We have to stop thinking that everybody else has to alter their personality and their ways to keep us happy, and we've got to take responsibility and own our own feelings and our own emotions. Let me tell you something. I cannot even imagine the wonderful things that you could come back here this time next year and tell us about what has happened in your life. If you would only leave with these two thoughts: I am going to get to the bottom of what's going on in my life, and I don't care how bad it hurts, I'm going to press past the pain and come out on the other side in victory. I got to say it again. I'm going to leave here and I'm going to find out what's really going on in my life. I'm not going to blame you, and I'm not going to blame you, and I'm not going to blame you, and I'm not going to. And that doesn't mean that there are not people in your life that are mistreating you. I'm certain that there are. But I do know that God uses things. He doesn't do them, but if we get in each other's way, God uses it. And if he doesn't use one thing, he'll have to use something else. That doesn't mean you don't confront people. That doesn't mean that you just lay down and let people walk all over you. That's not even what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is we have to find out what's going on in us. We war not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. When we're hurt, we want to place blame. That's the first thing that happens. Well, I'm hurt, it's your fault. Own your anger. Placing blame in the wrong place only amplifies our pain. It does not remove it, nor does it heal it. Satan is our real enemy. And we have a secret weapon against him that's found in Romans, the 12th chapter, and I think that many Christians miss it. You have a weapon against the enemy. There is something that God has enabled you to do that drives the devil just flat out insane. You say, what is it? What is it? What is it? You have an ability to be good to people who aren't being good to you. Well, I don't want to do that. Why? Because you got to press past the pain. See, if we'll learn to do what God tells us to do, no matter how it feels, we will come into a time when we will feel so wonderful we won't even be able to believe it. But you got to pay the price now to get to where you want to be. My husband is so healthy, and Dave feels so much better physically than I do. He's just got more strength and more energy, and, you know, I mean, I seem to hurt myself every time I turn around. I mean, I'll try to do this, hurt my back, try to do something else, hurt my arm. And, you know, just little nitpicky things that, you know, not like I'm sick or really in bad. But he's just so healthy and so strong. Well, you know what? Dave has been exercising every other day all of his life since he was about 16. Every other day he exercises. He invests that hour one day and 2 hours some days and 30 minutes some days. Well, I mean, you know, he's got the skin of a 25-year-old, doesn't have a wrinkle anywhere. Everything I had that used to be here ended up down here one day. I had some of it picked up and sewed back in place. Thinking about a few more things. I thought I'd go and see just what all can you have lifted these days. They tell me you can do a total body lift. Amen? Because, see, my arms are getting those kind of, you know, those dimply doodads you get on your arm. Well, so then you don't like to wear sleeveless things. And so I thought, okay, praise God, I'm going to work out. Well, messed up my elbow. Now I got to go to the doctor for my elbow. Okay, I'll do sit-ups, throw my back out of place. And then I just, it's like, come on, God, I'm trying to do this, and I keep hurting myself. So I thought, I'm tired of messing with this. I'm going to see about an arm lift. I bet they could just pull all this up here and just kind of tuck it back there somewhere. And nobody ever knows. Come on, don't you judge me. You want to do it too. You know it. Why do you think 3 years ago I suddenly looked 15 years younger? See, Dave paid the price. Well, in a lot of ways he did, yeah. He paid the price to feel the way he does now. I didn't pay the price then, but I'm paying it now. Is anybody awake in this place today? You're either going to press past your pain and move into victory, or you're going to still be in the same stinking condition, squirting room deodorizer on your life 50 years from now.
My God, my God. Listen to that. You know, she talked about when you open up your refrigerator. And you said, something smell in here. Have you ever opened up your refrigerator and some food has spoiled? She made an analogy of how unforgiveness and anger is that spoiled food. It doesn't matter how others treat you. It matters how you handle it. Because you can be wounded, or you can keep that food in your refrigerator forever and ever and ever. And it will smell for a long time. Or you can decide and make a decision to take that food out and throw it away. Get past the anger and unforgiveness, and the refrigerator will be fresh again. Your heart will be clean again.
I tell you, God is so good, I can't hardly stand it. But there is a price to pay. And you're going to have to go through some things. Stop blaming everybody else for what's wrong in your life. Man, after I learned how to pray and take authority over the devil, I mean, I was rebuking everybody, everything. Oh, God, you got to change Dave. You got to change my kids. You got to change my neighbors. You got to change my boss. So God told me I was the problem. Remember I said earlier that you don't have to let somebody else steal your joy? Don't give somebody else the responsibility for your joy. Your personal joy is your responsibility. It's not somebody else's responsibility to prop you up and keep you happy every day. See, and that's where we make the mistake. We marry somebody and we give them the responsibility to keep us happy. And what we should do is get in the relationship and let God show us what we can give to them. And then in our giving to them, we become happy. We got it backwards. You make me happy. No. God said, outreach. What can you do for somebody else to make their life better? And then in the giving away of yourself, you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, it's painful to let somebody else have their way when you don't want to do what they want to do. But at the same time, it's painful. Once you make it through that, there is a deep inner satisfaction on the inside of you that you do not get out of getting your own way. We're trading a little bit of fleshly zing for joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're trading a little fleshly fluff for the real thing that Jesus died to give us. You know, there's no better feeling than knowing that you've done what God wants you to do. No matter what it costs you, that you've done what God wants you to do. God has given us power. And He's given us power to be good to people, even to people that aren't being good to us. God has given us the power to pray for our enemies. He has given us the ability to not be mad at people that have hurt us and attacked us. God has given us the ability to be able to say, God, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And you know what? That is the truth. So many times people don't know what they're doing. They're just reacting out of their own hurt and pain. They're not even after you at all. You just got in the way.
My Lord, and that's another thing. You know, a lot of times we don't pick our battles. We get in the fight when God is trying to make someone better. And they'll come to you for help, and God is trying to teach them something. And you all in the battle when it's not your fight. I'll tell you, that's what we're doing at Kingdom Builders. We're pouring into people that God ordained us to pour into. We're sowing into the lives of people so that they can be a better person and able to fight the good fight of faith. And if you like what we're doing, we encourage you to sow a seed into our ministry, the ministry that God has given us, to care over, to water, to till the ground. And God's going to give the increase. You can go to our website, www.kingdomdaughters.org. Click on the donation tab and just sow. Or you can mail us a donation at 1033 Central Avenue. That's Gary, Indiana, 46407, Kingdom Daughters, or Kingdom Builders International. If you're writing a check, you can make it to Kingdom Builders International. We encourage you to sow into good ground so that we can continue to build people through workshops, through conferences, as the Holy Spirit leads. It's about building, getting built up, and building other people.
Brought my paper this morning. I know you'll all be wanting a copy of this to see what they said, but you know, this is just one of the papers here in St. Louis, and my house is on the front of it. My house is really pretty. And obviously, if I was trying to hide it, I wouldn't live on the corner of Gravois and 270. So I'm not trying to hide anything. There it is. Take pictures if you want. My face is in here. And, you know, I mean, it's not just a horrible article, but it makes me look like I'm after the money and dishonest and, you know, talks about some of my doctrines I didn't even know I had. You know, like one of my doctrines that people disagree with is that while I'm preaching, angels are whispering to me and telling me what to preach. I didn't know that. But I hope they tell me a whole bunch of good stuff this weekend. It says here that Meyer, they always call me Meyer, like I don't have a first name. According to the literature for the St. Louis event coming up, Myra will unveil four teachings from God specifically for those who are willing to ante up a $50 registration fee. See, so it makes it sound like that if you're willing to pay me $50, boy, I'll get a word from God for you and deliver it. Well, you know what? When I got this, it hurt me, but I didn't stay hurt very long. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, when you get angry, don't let the sun go down on your anger. First, I was spitting fire. You know, I'm like, ah, bless you. You know, I mean, we all have the same reaction when somebody initially comes against us, but I knew that I had to own that anger because I could not come down here. This happened 2 days ago. You think that wasn't a demonic plot? I could not come down here with anger in my soul and expect the love of God to flow through me and the anointing of God so you could be blessed this weekend. The devil sets you up to get you upset. When are we going to wake up? The devil knows your weaknesses. He sets you up to get you upset. And I want everybody to love me. I wish they'd say good things, because I'm a nice person. And I'm not just after your money, but I have to have some of it to do what I'm doing. They didn't give me this building free. I mean, people don't even think. So anyway, here's what I did. I prayed. Called the person by name. Lord, I pray for this person. I ask you to bless them. I ask you to give them revelation. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you can cause even my enemies to be at peace with me. And I said this because I really believe it. Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know me. They haven't been with me for 28 years. They don't know the price I paid. I am so fed up with listening to people talk about something they don't know anything about. Amen? Let me tell you something, and I'll say it boldly. I deserve to make good money, and I deserve to live in a nice house, and I deserve to drive a nice car, and I deserve to wear nice clothes. Amen? Nobody wrote unkind articles about me when I was hurting so bad I had to hold one of the legs of the furniture to keep from running away and killing myself. Hallelujah. But you know what? Here's what I had to say, and this is the honest to God's truth. This is why I can forgive them. 30 years ago, I would have thought the same thing about somebody like me that that person thinks right now. Because I didn't know any better. I was ignorant, and I only believed the things that I heard people say. Oh, yeah, those TV evangelists, oh, they want your money. See, there they go, money, money, money. I didn't understand. I didn't know. And so we really have to understand that people really don't know. And we have to take pity on them, and we have to pray for them. And when you do, you're released. I got released from that in a total of about, it maybe took 4 hours to work through the whole thing. And I got released. And instead of the devil being able to ruin my whole weekend, God was able to use me to turn the tables on the devil, to take somebody who was against me, to pray for them. Now the door's open for God to work in their life. And not only that, it gave me great sermon material, so just help me preach. And I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm just saying that Romans 12:21, I'm telling you, it is one of the most powerful spiritual secrets in the Word of God. If people would just get it, we overcome evil with good. Well, I just can't do it. I just can't talk to them. They've hurt me too bad. Yes, you can. All you have to do is say, God, by your grace and mercy, I am not going to avoid that person. I'm going to get myself over there right in the room where they're at, and I'm going to walk up to them, and I'm going to smile, and I'm going to say, it's so nice to see you today. How have you been? Because what we want to do is start to walk in a room where somebody's at that's hurt us and go, I'm not getting around them.
Yes, ministry can be a struggle when you're trying to provide services. And I'm telling you, but God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can think or ask according to the power that worketh within us. You know, he just seemed to make a way out of no way. And as Joyce was saying, you know, yes, you need finance to keep things going. Yes, you do. It takes finance. But some kind of way, God will put it on the heart of men and women to continue to bless you so that the ministry can continue to go forward. And yes, it does hurt to hear the talk. But greater is he that's in me and you than he that's in the world. We're about to come to a close in a few minutes, but I got another excerpt to play.
The Bible says to bless your enemies and do not curse them. You know what it means to bless? If you look it up in the Greek, to speak well of. You know what it means to curse? To speak evil of. If we will just refuse to talk about the people that have hurt us, if we will just refuse to spread what they've done to us to somebody else, thereby ruining their reputation in that person's mind, if we will let somebody think good of somebody who has hurt us, and oh, that hurts. Man, I was with somebody the other day. Well, actually, it was just with you guys yesterday. And you were talking about somebody that I forgot who, even now who it was. You know, how nice, how great, how this. And I thought, oh, man, I just like to tell you what I know. But see, God has just been showing me, just shut your mouth. You know how painful it is just to shut your mouth? Oh, it's painful. Because everything in us just wants to... We just want to tell it so bad. I mean, we just want to say what we want to say. I mean, it's hard. You can just feel things dying in you. And that's really what's happening. All those wrong things are dying because we're not feeding them. Every time we give in to a demonic feeling, we're feeding it and keeping it alive for the next time it wants to control us. Hallelujah. Let's look at Romans 12. I want you to see this with your own little eyes. Thank you. We overcome evil with good. Being good and doing right torments the devil. Do you understand that? He is so wicked and so evil. And just like we were talking earlier, if we're kind of having a rotten day and we get around somebody really happy, it aggravates us. Well, there's nothing good about the devil. He is evil and mean. So when we're good and we do right, it torments him. Do you understand that? Just being nice to somebody just torments the devil. Every time we show love, he's like, ugh. And it's true. I tell you this, and I know this. When I realized what Satan had done to me working through my father, who had a problem because somebody had hurt him, hurting people hurt people, till somebody draws the bloodline and says it's not going any further, it just keeps traveling from generation to generation to generation to generation, and the devil just has a heyday. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 61 that when we let God heal us, then we can repair the breach and we can be the restorer of streets to dwell in and we can raise up the devastations of many generations. Oh yeah, there's devastation back in my bloodline. Long history of incest and abuse and anger and violence and dysfunction. But you know what? It's stopping here. I'm going to pay the price for it to stop here. And that's going to be my legacy to my family. That's what I'm leaving the Meyer name. It's stopping here. Maybe there's been a little of it in some of my children, especially the older ones. But you know what? Even that's getting taken care of. And now by the time they're getting around to their kids, woo, watch out, devil. Because now you can't even hardly see any traces of the mess left.
Jesus, Jesus. You know, we have been given so much authority and power. When you can forgive those that have despitefully used you, and you can bless them, and you can pray for them. You can always talk about it, how they hurt you, but you don't want to pray and bless them and mean it from your heart. That's when you know that God is doing a new thing in you, a new thing in you. And that's what we want. We want God to do a new thing in us so that we can press past the pain. Because it has now began to engulf your life. It has now began to rule your day. So we bless God for you coming on tonight. And we thank you. As we begin to close, we just want to pray over those on the line. Father, we thank you for everyone on the line, Lord God. Father, we ask you, Lord God, that they would receive this word and they would grow from it, Father, and that they would have a better, peaceful life, that they would be able to press past the anger, Lord God, and the forgiveness would be their portion. Father, we thank you for this hour of power. We thank you, Lord God, that you're God and you're God all by yourself. For, Lord God, you've been with us always. And you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And, Father, we thank you that you have been with us. And, Father, because of who you are, we can live. Because of your Son dying on the cross, Father, we can reign again. So, Father, we ask you right now to allow us to walk in forgiveness, to allow us to walk and press past the pain. We thank you for what you are allowing us to do. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. For Lord, we know that we need you. We know that we need you. And we just thank you, Father. Amen, amen. Well, I pray that everyone was blessed tonight. We're going to play just a little bit of Lee Williams, and we're going to close out. And we just thank you for joining in with us tonight, for truly you are another blessing. God bless you, and we love you. This is Prophetess Teresa Dox from Kingdom Builders International. God bless you, and press past the pain and forgive those that have despitefully used you. Do it for your sake and your children's sake. God bless you.
The many blessings he's given me. When I look back over my life and I see where he brought me from, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Let me tell you, woke up this morning, got out of my bed, I looked around, here's what I said: thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed. You put a up over my head. Thank you, Lord, for another day. All these blessings you sent my way. It's a would see the righteous forsake, nor his seed begging for bread. I can count on God, he won't let me down. He always do just what he said. Pain and suffering, he brought me through. Oh, wide open, he always welcomes.
Another blessing.
That sounds like old time church to me. As a matter of fact, Green, I want to dedicate this in memory of your mama and my mama too, Miss Ruth Green. Is that all right? Y'all feel like doing this?
Let's do it.
Y'all feel like doing this? Some old time songs. Come on, listen.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood.
Hey.
I know it was the blood. Save me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross.
Yes.
I know it.
Church on Sunday morning.
Yes,
the song
yes.
Was something like this.
This little light of mine,
hey.
I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, y'all. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine.
used to have them old-time revivals back in the country. And they used to sing old songs that says this for him. They said, hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. Yeah, hush, be quiet, y'all. The Williams brothers a whole lot, called the Nightingales. They did a song like this. They said, I want to be at the meeting. I want to be at the meeting. Lord said, I want to be at the meeting. When all the saints get home, well, after separation. They did a song like this, but let's do it the old time way. Come on. By and by,
oh, when the morning comes,
hey,
all the saints of God together in a home, tell the story how we overcome.
With the music, and I see that everyone a lot is still on the line. Just be blessed with anointed men and women.
Then say my
you
that what can make me whole again, yeah. You heard my cry,
you
heard my cry,
you
heard my cry,
you
heard my cry.
Just one moment. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the day that Jesus converted my soul. I can't forget about it. And if he has converted your soul,
God's calling for a life that's holy.
Holy.
No Christian should be ashamed to live it boldly.
Holy.
Now add love.
Love.
Joy. Something like this, and you're calling.
What a free we have in Jesus. Oh, how much? Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. You know, all I was seeing. Breathe, breathe.
How sweet it is. Love is unchanging. Every day
I stood on the banks of Jordan, yes I did, Lord, to see the ship go by.
I know my Auntie Doris and my mom is enjoying that music. God bless you both. I'm excited. I'm excited about just being able to share Jesus with somebody. So we just want to bless everyone tonight and just encourage you to enjoy the rest of your evening. And just remember, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength as wings like an eagle, should run and not faint, walk and not get weary. So in well doing, just keep doing good, forgiving, pressing past that pain. God's going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to many others. Well, we're going to end the program tonight, and I pray that everyone enjoyed the program. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. We have a guest speaker that will be coming on live tomorrow night. And I thank everyone for being so patient on the line, and I pray that you enjoyed and were blessed with Joyce Myers on tonight. And on tomorrow night, we have another speaker. And Sunday, we have a speaker. So God is blessing us with live speakers. And I just want to encourage you to tune in to the Kingdom Builders International, 661-449-9911. And we are, our goal is to have someone on 7 days a week between the hours of 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. But the show will be announced the day before. So I just encourage you, just be blessed. And I'm just going to go back to the music. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Remember, the devil is under your feet. About 37 more minutes, and the Lord just got me playing this music. I want you to be blessed tonight.
Amen. We are.
Listen, for those of you that are going through, for those of us that are waiting on His promise, understand God has not forgotten you. When times get tough, you got to look up to heaven and encourage yourself and say,
Wait on it.
Sundays in.
Wait on
midnight hour.
Wait on.
Him, we can create the atmosphere of a praise. We can create the atmosphere in our homes. We can create the atmosphere wherever we are. If we create an atmosphere of praise, then praise is in the room. You know, but the next song I'm going to play, it's talking about creating the atmosphere. When
all
you
right.
begin to praise God, your atmosphere is created. So be an atmosphere creator.
Amen.
Worship is the agenda, so hallelujah. We just worship Him. We're joining with the angels tonight in the pattern of what's going on 24 hours every day. We're just joining in. We're just hooking up. It's a hookup. It's a hookup. Lifting up holy hands in the temple. Dancing for the Lord. That's where it's at. That's the heavenly pattern. Oh my God. Atmosphere. Atmosphere. Yeah.
That's the difference between praise and worship. When we, the first songs I was playing was praises. Praises to God. These are songs of worship. When you worship Him, you have to create the atmosphere of worship. So usually worship songs are a little bit slower. So you can go into meditation. And as you worship God, you can go into prayer. And as you go into prayer, you can hear God. He'll speak back to you.
Amen.
So we just thank God tonight for allowing us to go forth. And I pray that everyone was blessed of the Lord. We're going to end the program. And I'm excited about what He's doing. If you want any of these tapes that we're doing on air, they're all recorded. We can get you a copy. You can give us a call or go to our website. The website is www.kingdomdaughters.org. Click on contact, and you can request the tapings, any of the tapings. We can get them to you. Of course, there will be a small fee for shipping and handling and getting the tapes to you, the overhead for the tape. But other than that, all these tapes are pre-recorded and prepared and ready to be shipped out to you. God bless you. I love you. We love you with the love of Christ. Continue to create the atmosphere of praise and worship. Continue to stay encouraged. Continue to fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
And surround yourself with people that encourage you. And you be an encourager. You be an encourager.
Amen.
God bless you all. We love you. Have a wonderful night.
Have a wonderful night.
God bless.
God bless.
Receive Elder Phil Tarver as he comes to faith.
Dance with me, Lord.
Christmas Day when they drive them all away. There are strange things happening every day. Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
There are strange things happening every day.
Shouldn't be. Take it out and stay in me.
I'm too close to heaven.
I wanna let it rain as well for me. praise the Lord. I pray that everyone was blessed, and we're about to say good night. I pray, especially for my Auntie Doris and my mom, that you too enjoy those musics, because I play them just for you.
Amen.
Amen. Do anyone want to make a comment at this time?
God bless.
God bless you, Auntie.
God bless.
How are you?
Oh, good, doing good, blessed. Enjoying my kids were dancing with me, and they were just really rejoiced.
Praise God. Praise God. I knew you and Mom would enjoy those songs.
Yes, definitely. I wish I could get the whole song.
We can make that happen for you, Auntie. We can make that happen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to... Okay, go ahead.
Made me thought about long years ago when we were singing and praising God and shouting and all that.
Amen. Those were songs, the greatest gospel songs from the 40s, 50s,
mm-hmm.
and 60s.
Oh, okay. I knew it was.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. I love you, and I love everyone on the line. I just want to encourage you tonight. Just continue to rejoice in the Lord, and have a good night.
Have a good night.
Amen. God bless everyone.
Thank you. God bless.
Glory, come on, Lord. you know it goes sing and never get tired. And then it goes sing somewhere I'm gonna die. And then we go to shine all our trouble over. You know we got to thank God. Thank you for being so good to me. He said,
and thank the God.
Get through.